Oh my God! Orange Hair is back. This is episode 41 of the Orange Hair Podcast. This is Jordan B. Centers. I'm joined over the internet with Mike the Hammer K. Klitzinski.
What's up?
How's it going, bro?
Pretty good, bray.
We have not done this thing in 3 months and one day.
That's impressive. I really cannot believe that. Like, I don't even know what to do with myself. I thought something was missing from my life, and now I found it.
Exactly. We kind of got derailed by preparations for attending our first convention and work and all that other junk that we've used excuses before, and we probably will again. But at least it wasn't 6 months this time.
Yeah, exactly. Or a year.
Or a year. So speaking of conventions, let's jump right into the news. News. So we just attended this past weekend the second annual Memphis Comic and Fantasy Convention. And Mr. Hammer K, what were your thoughts on that?
It was awesome. I had never actually been to one of those before, so A, it was cool being at one, and B, it was awesome being in it, and C, it was freaking sweet to play at it.
I'm only gonna plus one all three of your points there, sir.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was literally one of the nerdiest things I have ever been to in my entire life, and it was great.
It was quite incredible. It was really fun seeing like people actually, you know, kind of getting into what we're doing and sort of getting what we're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, which is a new one there.
Yeah, that's quite the new one. So I think we kind of found our home with the people we're playing to. So that's awesome. If you're a new listener and you happen to meet us or see us at Memphis Comic and Fantasy Convention, welcome. We hope you enjoy your stay. We could take your coat. There's a seat over there, and there's a pipe if you like. Yeah, there's brandy if you like, and there's water if you want either. Take a seat next to the fire. So, yeah, that's awesome. I had a whole lot of fun. Like, I thought it was going to be really cool, but, like, I wasn't prepared for how awesome it really was.
Yeah, like, I had no clue what to expect. But I think it turned out pretty well.
Yeah, I had a whole lot of fun playing and meeting and talking with everybody. Just everything, mm-hmm. You know, beginning to end. And we were right next to an awesome artist who we are beginning to talk with about doing the art for our next album. You should check him out. His name's Michael Champion. His website's michaelchampion.net. Really good stuff. Awesome. Awesome guy. He's a really cool guy.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the cool things that kind of came out of us being at the Memphis Comic Fantasy was we actually got invited to play at a convention in Batesville, Arkansas, next April, I think that's when it's going to be. It's like a pulp fiction convention, and they're trying to pull in, you know, younger people and get, you know, excitement about it. So it looks like we're going to be playing that guy. It's called Pulp Arc. So that should be really awesome as well.
Loved about that.
Yeah, totally, dude. We met the guy who's putting that on, and he was super excited about having us play, and made us super excited about playing, because we're always excited about playing. But when somebody asks you to play, like, specifically requests you to play...
That's what was super crazy, was like, we had just gotten there, it was Sunday morning after we played, and then dude walks up and was like, hey, so, want to play?
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah!
Totally. So that's awesome, and we're also trying to see if we can get on Anime Blues Con, which is another one that's going in Memphis next year, I think in June, so that should be exciting if we can get on there. That one's, I guess, supposed to be a little bigger, and bigger's better.
Yep, that's what she said.
I guess that's what she said, so I don't know, I don't care if there's like five people there, I would go and play.
Mm-hmm. I was fully expecting the way it looked the other night before we started playing. There weren't that many people there. I was like, oh, great, we're going to be playing to five people. But there actually ended up being quite a few people there.
Yeah, we had a good crowd, man. I was pretty stoked on that. And they seemed to be pretty much into it, so that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. If you're going to be attending Pulp Arc 2012 or Well, let's hope Anime BlizzCon 2012. Look out for Order of Tier. And we're trying to see if we can get on a couple others, but we'll see. But we did get invited back to MCFC 2012, and I think it's going to be in November next year. So
yeah, that's what the flyer thing said.
Yeah, so we should be back again, and I'm excited to go because that was a really good time, man. I had a good time.
Definitely.
So anything else along those lines you wanted to talk about?
We covered the Transformers theme song from the 1986 movie.
Oh, yeah. That was fun, man.
Yeah, that was awesome.
We need to do more stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's on the list of things to do. And hopefully we will get that recorded soon. An actual good recording of it.
That's my hope. So,
and yeah, be able to pump that out.
Be pretty exciting.
Yes.
So, also, talking about recording music and stuff, there's a couple things to talk about with that. One, I'm trying to actually finish up Chiptunes of Destiny. I guess that kind of stuck as the official name of that album. That was a joke at first, but, you know, whatever.
But no, seriously.
The Rainwave dudes, Estocean 255, are you Estocean 255? Are you Estocean 255? Sorry, that's a super inside joke. Okay, so I'm going to go into it. So the manager of Mixwave Station on Rainwave, he's the one that put Flames of Destiny on Mixwave, and so we were trying to get him to come to Memphis Comic and Fantasy Convention. Turns out he was out of town, so that was a bummer. But it was funny because we were going out to eat and we were talking about, we never thought about this, but if we're in Memphis,
he could be anyone.
Yeah, he lives in Memphis, so it could be anybody. You know, we don't know. We honestly don't even know if it's a guy or a girl. I'm assuming it's a guy, but that's probably that could definitely be a bad assumption. So we were joking about we just need to start walking up to everybody we see and saying, "Are you Association 255?" So. If we ever say
that, he had to be there.
Yeah, he probably had to be there. If we ever say that's what we're talking about. Now, what were we talking about before? I totally forgot. I know what it was. He put on the four chiptune songs that we've done.
So oh, far. Yeah, right.
So those are on Mixwave now, which is awesome. And I made a pact to finish the rest of the songs for that album. Well, by year's end, that's my goal. So you should see a complete Chiptunes of Destiny for free or for download and streaming by the end of the year. And I'm thinking about, like, once we get done with... We had a run of copies of Flames of Destiny that we did for the convention. And, amazingly, we almost sold out. And thank you, everybody who bought the album out there. You guys are incredible, and you make us feel awesome when that happens.
I was not expecting that at all.
No way, dude. And it's one of those things where, like, every time somebody buys an album, it makes me feel like, okay, I want to go write 20 more.
Yep.
Just one person buying it, you know? So, thank you guys that did and gals that did. That really means a lot to us. Because, I mean, we just see that as a statement of you saying that you are trying to support what we're doing, you know? And that's more of a compliment than anything else I think that somebody could pay us, you know?
Definitely.
So that's awesome. And so once we sell out of this run of the album, of Flames of Destiny, we're actually going to move our production in-house mostly, except for the physical CDs. We're going to get those, I think, we haven't talked for sure about this, but we think we're going to get them printed somewhere else, like, duplicated and printed somewhere else. And then we're going to do all the packaging ourselves. We're going to upgrade the packaging from regular jewel cases to jewel boxes. And I don't know if you guys have seen jewel boxes, but they are
awesome.
They're stinking awesome. I mean, they're like beefy and they're like rounded corners, but the corners are ribbed. And it's like, you can still break them. I mean, it's plastic. You could break it. But you know how like you look at a jewel case the wrong way and it just falls in half? That doesn't happen with these guys, so they're a lot more sturdy and it just feels nicer. But the trick with that is that, like, now we're selling the played the Destiny album for $7. And once we get the new packaging, it's going to go up to $10. But one part of that's because the packaging costs more, and it's going to cost us more to produce it. But I'm contemplating, and I haven't talked to Mike about this, and this is probably a dangerous thing to say live on the air, but I'm still going to say it. I'm contemplating seeing if we can maybe make some runs of the Chiptunes album and just stick them inside the same. So, like, if you buy Flames of Destiny, you also get the CD for it.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. I like that idea.
Because that's another cool thing about the jewel boxes is that, like, they're actually made to be able to hold two CDs on the little spindle thing inside of it. So.
That's awesome.
You get that for free. That's cool.
Well, cool. We just made that decision live on the air, talking shop.
For real. You heard it here first because we heard it here first. We said it here first.
It was new to me. I mean.
No, you know. So yeah, that's one thing we're working on now. And did you want to talk about the other?
The new album?
Yeah, the new album.
That whole deal where we're doing the same thing we did before, but even better?
Yeah, the new album.
Yeah.
Because when I say new album, I still think of Flames of Destiny.
Yes. I mean, it kind of still is new, even though it's almost approaching a year old.
Yeah, it's over 6 months old at this point.
Man, that's so crazy. Weird. That's crazy.
Super crazy.
Yeah, so, I mean, what is there to say?
Well, it's going to be like Flames of Destiny on steroids.
That basically, like everything that we experimented with on Flames of Destiny, it's going to take that to another level, I guess. And hopefully that doesn't sound too scary. But,
Well, it's just, yeah. It's our next evolution. It's one of those things where it's us becoming who we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's us becoming ourselves, right?
Right. So, expect there to be some more progressive moments and some more electronica moments.
Yeah, for sure.
More hooks.
Yep.
With a little bit of power metal, but not too generic power metal.
Hopefully not.
Yeah, that's the goal. Is to not just toss something in there. Not that we did that before.
And breakdowns. We're doing breakdowns. Right.
Yes. Breakdowns. Yes to all breakdowns.
Those are fun to do live. I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have breakdowns. Sorry.
And we have a whopping list already going.
Oh. Was there like 70-something things on that list?
Let me scroll down. There's 67.
So, there are 67 songs that we've decided we want to use. Now, yeah, whether we hit all 67 of them may be a different story.
There's all kinds of stuff. Or Ace Combat, Bayonetta, Castlevania, something that we didn't touch before.
That we've been wanting to forever.
Yep. Some more Final Fantasy, some more Mega Man. Yeah. Super Street Fighter 2.
And then some, you know, less maybe generic things or mainstream type things. Like what I was doing here. Some of the East series.
Yeah. Cave Story. Just put that on there today, actually.
Yeah. So that should be cool. I'm excited about it, dude. I'm like super pumped about the next album.
No, me too.
I think the reason why I'm so excited about it is because I had no idea where Flames of Destiny was going to go, and I see what came out of it, and I have no idea where this is going to go. So my hope is that I'm going to be as stunned by what comes out of it as I was with Flames of Destiny.
Exactly. I second that statement.
I can't think of any reason why it wouldn't be as awesome, if not more so. So cool. Yeah, we got a new album. We have a title that we've been throwing around. I'm not going to drop it just yet, but that we've been kind of referring to the album with, and I don't know if that's going to stay or not. I mean, it would be cool. I had this whole concept, but I think it really depends on what happens with the lyrics. So
yep,
we'll see.
Cool.
But I think that's about all the news, unless you have anything else.
Yeah, I don't have anything else.
Okay, next topic. Well, let's move right along.
So, what you playing, Jables? Or are you about to play something?
Actually, I borrowed a whole buttload of games from you.
I know one game that better be at the top of your list.
Oh, yeah, the first thing I'm going to play is going to be Catherine.
Yes.
Because as soon as I finished the demo of that, the game, I don't even think the game was out at the time, but Yeah, sure. I really wanted to get the game, and of course I didn't, because I didn't, you know, right. I'm an idiot like that, but...
Yeah, shortly after we did the last podcast, I beat it, and I've been wanting to talk about it this entire freaking time, but I'll wait till you beat it so we can actually both talk about it.
I will, depending on when we do the next podcast, I may have already beaten it by then, because, like, I don't... I imagine, like, with as much as I enjoyed the demo, it'll probably be one of those things where I beat it as quickly as I can.
Mm-hmm. Like, it was one of those games, you know, when you're watching a TV show and it just leaves with this cliffhanger and you just have to watch the next one and you keep on saying, okay, this is the last one, and then you just keep on watching them and then suddenly the entire night has gone by.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's how that game is.
That's not a good sign.
Yeah.
I need sleep, brother.
Yeah, it's almost like every night of that game, once that ends, you know, it kind of leaves a cliffhanger or something in the next morning and so on. So, yeah.
That sounds quite thrilling.
Yes, it is a riveting tale.
Other than that, I just, I think I picked your Bethesda games.
Oh, yeah.
Just because I want to play them on my TV, because I've never seen Oblivion that huge before.
That's what she said. Did you...
That's what we're calling it now, Oblivion?
Yes. Did you take Fallout 3, too?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, I took Fallout 3, yes.
As well.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, because Tom's been talking about that one since it came out, and he's like, oh, it's so cool, you need to play it. I'm like, okay, sure, Tom.
Yeah, it's a really cool game. It's very Bethesda-ish. I don't know, that's kind of what ruined it for me, honestly, was once I realized it was so, you know... Bethesda-ish.
It was Oblivion and post-apocalyptic America.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what it felt like. And it took me a while to realize that. Until, you know, I started wandering around aimlessly in the barren wasteland, and I was like, okay, wait a minute.
Am I gonna wander upon some Oblivion gates that people are trying to defend against?
Probably. And then you have to close 9 or 10 of them before you can do anything else.
That's true.
Are you playing with a vibrator?
No.
It just... It sounded like...
Oh, okay. Probably because I'm messing with this cable here. I will stop doing that. did the sound go away?
Yes.
Okay, so that's what it was. Sorry. I have a habit of fidgeting with things. But, you know, that's just how it goes.
That's just how rockin' go.
Okay, so what about you? What do you... That's basically all that's on my... agenda is those three games, and I'm hoping to play Oblivion so much so that I don't want to buy Skyrim because I'm pissed off at Bethesda for suing Mojang. I play Minecraft a lot now too. Sorry, I forgot about that one.
Dude, Brad Nicholson said that he has put over 300 hours into Oblivion.
Why? Like, how?
just screwing around. Like, I don't even know.
Man.
I can't even believe that. That's so crazy. 300 hours that's, into a game.
No. Mm-mm. I mean, I have put, like, around 100, but that's the most I've ever put into any game. Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't
300?
Even... Man, you know, it's really depressing, but I think the games that I probably put that many hours into were doing stupid things, like in Mario 64
like that.
Like,
yeah, Mario 64 is probably the game I've spent the most time on in my entire life. Mm-hmm. Other than maybe Final Fantasy VIII.
Yeah, I still need to actually play that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But as far as what I'm playing now... I was playing through Mega Man 3 for a while, and then Gears of War 3 came out, and I got that, and so I've been in the process of moving into a new house, so I haven't had too much time to be playing video games. So between moving and getting ready for this conference this past week has been pretty much gameless, but I'm pretty close to beating Gears of War 3. And then once I beat that, I forgot what the next thing I was going to play was. More than likely, by the time I beat that, it'll be November 1st, which means that Sonic Generations and Uncharted 3 will be out. And that will Yeah.
Man, you don't have Uncharted, do you? That's Jason's game, isn't
it? Yeah, that's his.
Crap. Because I was totally going to borrow that.
He'll let you borrow it. It's not... He's not going to...
Awesome.
Yeah, I guarantee he will. Because he gave me both of them, and I basically... I mean, I didn't even play them for like a month or so, and then... Then I finally got around to it, so I probably had them for like two and a half months.
Yeah, but man, this is not a time when I need to get a bunch of games. Yeah. Like, I'm probably going to go ahead and borrow them, but it's like, I got so much crap to do with the band. Like, finishing the chiptune album and then start writing new stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. And when I say that, it sounds like it's a chore, but it's totally man. Not. It's like, I really want to do that.
I will take one for the team and do all the work for like 2 months if you play Catherine and both the Uncharted's.
Okay, this is the official record of that. All right, you guys heard that here. So whenever I'm getting on his ass about not doing work.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really do want to. I've been wanting to. That's the only. Honestly, like that's the, for the longest time. That's the only reason I wanted a PS3 was to play Uncharted.
You know, I didn't even know about the game really. Like I never looked up anything about PS3, or I didn't really even know anything about it. And I honestly didn't really want to play it until I got a PS3, and then Jason said something about it, and was like, I'll check this out.
And I just saw the commercials for Uncharted, and they looked kind of funny, and I was like, oh, but that's a pretty cool game. And look, I mean, it looked like, you know, Tomb Raider, but souped up. And so I was like, oh, Tomb Raider is a cool game.
There's a Japanese commercial for Uncharted 3, and it has Harrison Ford playing it, and he's just like freaking hitting a bunch of buttons and not even pushing the joysticks or in any direction. It's like the most, I don't even know. It doesn't even look like he's doing anything. He just looks like he's growling at a TV, fisting a remote control. And it's not even on.
Oh wow!
The lights on.
Oh man!
Yeah.
Classic.
Cool.
All right, so what are you gonna be playing next? Did you say?
Probably.
Oh, Uncharted.
Yeah, probably Uncharted and Sonic Generations. There was a new demo for Sonic Generations that came out yesterday that has it has Green Hill, but it has classic and modern Sonic on it, and. Yeah, modern Sonic controls a lot better than he has in previous games, so that's cool. It's in older games, he had this habit of, you know, he was going 100 miles an hour, and then you'd kind of move the thumbstick over, and then he'd cut over to the side. But in this, the controls kind of tighten up depending on the speed that you're going, it's not as crazy or sensitive, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Awesome. So I have to ask you, brother, what do you think about Uncharted and its online pass?
Man, you know, I got Subway the other day, and then I saw Uncharted on the cup, and it said something about pass or something, and it just, like, pissed me off immediately when I saw that. And, you know, when I first heard about online passes, I didn't, just like, why is that a big deal? But, you know, I mean, the whole deal where you have to, you know, buy the online pass if you buy the game used, that's pretty crappy there, publishers.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you're not buying the whole game when you buy the game. Like, I mean, even as new. It's like, even though they give you that pass, you're not buying the whole game. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? I mean, maybe I'm...
Something happened with the new Batman. Apparently there was supposed to be a code in there for Catwoman, and somehow it got left out of some of them, and they are having to send out these codes to all the people that don't have them, and so obviously, you know, wasting lots of money to do that when they were trying to, you know, be titty heads to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, why don't you just make the game have the content that the game's supposed to have? It's okay to have DLC and extra content. I'm not against that. I think that's fine. I think it's a good thing for prolonging the life cycle of a game. But
man,
don't Don't give me Mega Man, like a Mega Man game, and make me have to buy two of the bosses.
Yeah, I actually, when I first heard about the online pass thing, like a year ago or something, it was just kind of a rumor going around that they were going to charge like, you know, $30 for a new game or something, and it would only be like the first quarter of the game, and then you'd have to buy the rest of the game.
Oh, right.
So if you bought it used, then you'd still have to buy all that crap.
Sure. I mean, eventually they're just going to get digital anyway, right? Everything's going to go digital, and you're not going to... They're going to kill, like, literally kill the used games market that way, I think. But...
Oh.
It's still a little while before that, and it's like, don't be buttheads. I mean, you've set this precedent for how the industry is supposed to work. Why not work within the context of what everybody expects it to be working
on? Yeah, speaking of that, after all that crap that GameStop did with... Was it Deus Ex that they did that, where they took out the code?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then everybody... That kind of pissed me off that they, you know, opened new games and took out these codes or whatever. But I don't know what game it was, but it had an online pass, and they were putting the online pass in the used copies of the game.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
So that was cool. That kind of redeemed them a little bit in my eyes that they did something like that.
Where do you think this passes? So, you know, it's like, what was it? Passes that you could buy in the store, and they were just like, well, screw it.
Maybe.
Did they market the cost of the used game?
I mean, if you go into GameStop, you can actually buy, like, XBLA and PSN games. Like, they have a card, and it has a code. I guess you can buy the DLC like that. They were just putting those in the boxes or something.
Okay. But then they're... Somehow I don't think they're just being completely altruistic about it. Obviously they're trying to bolster their used game sales, no doubt. But they're still taking hits for those codes, right? Because they have to pay for the codes. So they're taking a hit somewhere. I don't know. I mean, no matter what GameStop does, there's nothing that they're going to do that's going to make me want to really support
them. Yeah, I'm not. Best Buy has better midnight launches anyway. Dude, that freaking Gears of War one, did I tell you what I got? You saw that lanyard thing that I got? Got that. I got like a little mini Xbox controller.
I saw that thing hanging there. I started playing with it. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, I got that. There was like a Gears of War comic. Apparently, the Gears of War novels and comics are all really good. I did not know this. They're written by the same writer who's done all the games. So they're very relevant.
I just figured it was like, you know,
yeah, that's what I thought.
Quasi-fan. Yeah.
Gay fan fiction.
Yeah,
that, and I got a Gears of War beanie thing that I'm totally going to wear to work when it gets colder. And like a gift card or something.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
That's pretty sweet. That sounds like a lot of...
Yeah, so I'm definitely going there for Uncharted 3. They better give me like a freaking dagger or something. Anyway.
You know,
yeah.
Something like that. But yeah, I don't know. It's just so hard to know, like... Everybody gets so pissed off about everything.
Yeah, gamers are the whiniest people on the planet.
Yeah, but we are them. So you're condemning us to their fate. But seriously, though, it's like, I can't... Just something about the selling the online pass separately just really just... turns me the wrong way, you know what I mean?
And not to mention, it's like, you can't just put the game in and play it. You have to put the game in and freaking download an update, because usually they release a broken game and then they realize it and then have to patch it on day one. And then you have to enter this freaking code.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I remember this day when you could put a game in and freaking play it. It was really cool.
Sometimes you have to blow on it, but most of the time it works.
Although those top loaders, man. Woo! Let me tell you what. If you ever run across an NES top loader, you need to buy it.
Assuming you don't already have one. In which case, you need to contact me so that I can obtain an NES top loader.
Yes, because I recently dove into this purchase because I was freaking trying to play Darkwing Duck, and I couldn't get the game. I literally could not get the game to work. Like, it would not work. No matter how hard I blew into it, it would not work.
That's a bummer. But it works in the top loader.
Sometimes you'll put it in there, won't work the first time, then, you know, kind of take it out and woo it, and then it'll work.
Bubba Rubber, uh-huh. Is that what you're saying?
It's like that video that Brentalfoss has. It was that song from Mario 3 where he's trying to get the cartridge to work and he like waves it in the air and he puts it in his shirt and acts like it's boobs and does magic on it and then it works.
Yeah. Alright, so that's about all the game talk we got.
Yeah, I got more. Then.
Okay, so we've come to the other SH portion of the show. So we've been watching videos at work because, you know, that's kind of what we do when we have downtime. Wait, downtime? Oh, lunch. That's lunch. That's right. You came across Hulk,
right? Yeah.
You come across everything. I don't find anything.
I don't even remember how I came across that, actually. It was something with Uncharted 3. There was a video. It's Hop stands for Hey Ash, what you playing? And it is Ashley Birch and Anthony Birch. Anthony Birch is a writer at Gearbox, and he's on the Electric Hydra podcast that I listen to, and he used to be an editor at Destructoid. It's just kind of this web series that they do, and basically each video is centered around a game, and they kind of make a parody of the game, I guess, in video form.
Yeah. It's not always a parody of the game, though. And sometimes it's a parody of something, like, something about people, how they play the game, or people's relationships with the game, or, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, it's really funny just because...
The chemistry that they have.
Ash is just... Yeah, she's, like, so deadpan. Like complete deadpan. And, normally... That doesn't work, like, over an extended period of time. I mean, it has to be, like, something that punctuates for it to actually work. But it's, like, that's, like, her base character. And it's ridiculous. I mean, it's, like, so absolutely ridiculous.
It's so funny to actually seriously hear her talk, and she acts nothing like that.
Like, I've never seen it. You have to show me a video, because, like, I've never actually seen her where she's not like that. I just assume she's like that. I want to pretend that I'm in that world. I want to believe that's the way the world is.
Yeah, that was a video, Rocco from Mega 64. They, like, did a joint thing at E3. I think it was this past year. And then he interviewed her afterwards, and she was just acting like herself, and it was the strangest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I just can't even imagine it, to be quite honest. And he's just so normal. Like, he doesn't do it. He acts the way you would expect him to act.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
and... Oh, it just... You have to watch it. You just have to watch these things. It cannot be explained.
Exactly.
And because every time I watch one, like, I laugh so hard. And then, I tell him, like, I don't know why this show's funny. Like, I cannot, you know, articulate why this show is funny.
And their dad is on it, and he's so freaking awkward.
It's funny because it's like, I don't know, like, he's supposed to be there, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the parts where he's there, it's like so natural. It's like, and it's funny because, like, they're outtakes that they show with him, and, like, he misses his lines and stuff. But whenever, like, when he hits it and when they edit it in there, it looks like he's just like, he's so smooth with his comebacks and the things that he says.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So that's a really good series. If you haven't watched Hop, you need to. I think their YouTube's what, youtube.com/HopOfficial, H-A-W-P official.
Yeah, that's right. And the first season is on YouTube, minus like the last three episodes or something. And then their website is heyash.com, where you can find all of their episodes. And they actually have a podcast, too.
Oh, really? Yeah. Does she do, like, her character on the podcast?
No, they just talk.
Oh,
I haven't had a chance to actually sit down and listen to it, but I listened to, like, the first 5 minutes or so of one, and they just talk.
Okay. That's disappointing.
Yeah.
Because that would be funny to hear her do a whole podcast. But... No. No, that's not right. No, I don't agree with that.
Man. Yeah.
So check that out. That's good. Worth watching. Worth the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like you got something else to talk about. Yeah. I think I watched the episode of this.
This other thing that I found, which actually came from Pat the NES Punk, who was on the Nintendo World Championships episode of the Angry Video Game Nerd. He is a member of this other website. It's, what is it, Retro TV?
RetroWare.
RetroWare.
I think it's RetroWare. Yeah.
It looked really RetroWare. Yeah, RetroWareTV.com. And it's just a bunch of people that make retro video game shows. And these dudes that are on there, it's called the Game Chasers. And they live in Texas, and what they do is on the weekends, they'll spend a whole weekend and they'll go out and look for old retro games and try to find rarities. And it's kind of, what is that show? It's kind of set up like one of those reality shows where they show footage and then they're like talking, having an interview going on. It's a really well edited show.
Yeah.
But they found some pretty awesome stuff. Like there's this rare NES game. It's a Flintstones. I always forget what it's called. It's not the first.
Something that Bedrock. Something
yeah, it's
another.
It's not the first one, but it's the second one, and it was only released to Blockbuster. And when Blockbuster stopped renting it, they sold them all. And so this game is worth, you know, like $150-$200, and they found it for $5. at some used game store, but they go to flea markets and they go to used game stores and they just try to find stuff. And I know that sounds kind of lame.
Surprise Dino Peak.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Surprise at Dino Peak. Yeah.
That sounds like a porno.
well,
yeah.
You know, it probably was.
Yeah, that sounds kind of lame, but it's their chemistry is what makes it enjoyable, I guess. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's a pretty good show.
Yeah.
It's good if you're interested in, like, I mean, because you kind of learn more about the rarities of, you know, classic
yeah.
games. Like, like, if you, because now, like, after watching some episodes of that, if you were to go to, like, a flea market or something somewhere, and you look through the games, you would know, like, if you saw, like, something like that, you'd be like, oh, wow, that's actually worth something, and maybe you could get a deal, too. So that's what's
yeah.
kind of cool.
Yeah, and after they buy something, they don't just buy rare things, they buy a bunch of things, and they'll actually give you a list and tell you how much it's worth and how much they paid for it. And
yeah.
So that's cool. And they kind of educate you on things. If it's rare, then, you know, they'll tell you why and whatever.
Yep.
You been watching anything else?
Man, I thought there was something that I had been that I was going to talk about, but I forgot.
There was, too.
Oh, we joined a steampunk group.
We sure did.
That's totally random, but I just thought about that. So there's a steampunk group in Memphis called Clockwork Mechanalist, and I was talking to their fearless captain before, I think it was probably the first night at the convention, and we were discussing, you know, non-relativistic science and, you know, basically ether physics and things like that, and it was interesting. And so they had a panel, and I went to it, and they talked some more about it, and then he came over to our table and was talking to us, and it just kind of happened. We were like, yeah, let's do it. so we're now part of the Clockwork Mechanalists. So you can check those guys out. They have a website.
Cool dudes.
It's not much on it yet, but they're on Facebook and stuff. Yeah, they're really cool people. And I'm gonna actually I haven't told him this yet, but this will be just between me and all you listeners, but I'm gonna try to make some weaponry and accessories sometime soon.
Yes. You better make a steam
for the wearings. And I really want to do that, man. I just have to find the right candidate for the base of it, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Because, like, I don't want to, like, cut up, like, a really awesome guitar of mine.
Yeah, definitely not your purple one.
No. That's not getting touched at all, except for with 11.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be building a new drum set soon, something that's more portable, so I'm not bringing the Siamese monster with me every single time I play somewhere. Dude. Yeah.
More like eight-headed Hydra.
Yeah. So, I don't know, I might throw in some steampunkery there. I'm going to kind of try to keep it video game related, and yeah. You know, so I don't know. I'll be thinking about that. But
Pat Gentleman.
Yeah.
You seen that, right? Some,
yes.
Okay.
There might be some sprockets here and there.
Heck yeah, dude. But yeah, I think that's about all the news. Anything to talk about, really. I think that's about it. We got another radio show episode coming out. It may actually already be out by the time that you hear this, but if not, it's coming out very soon, I promise. In fact, I can almost guarantee you that it's already out, so check that guy out. We need to work out our timelines a little better, but
yeah.
I've got some other ideas for what we could do, for some things we might do with the radio podcast type thing. Like, may not just be the radio show as it is right now. That may be like a special edition type of thing. Maybe some other stuff in between that, but we may not. It just depends on what the time looks like.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
But yeah, I think that's about it. The big thing right now is we're just trying to start in on this new album, like in full force now that we've gotten past this convention.
Yeah, that was kind of our big thing of the year. So.
And it was a big thing, man. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was. Oh, again. the show with what's his name?
Oh yeah. We're trying
Rainbow
to set
Dragon
up,
Eyes.
Yeah, we're trying to set up a show with Rainbow Dragon Eyes. Which if you haven't checked out his stuff, you need to go check it out. It's he's got a Bandcamp, rainbowdragoneyes.bandcamp.com, and it's like it's chiptunes based, so it's not like there's no like guitar or drums or anything, but it's chiptunes. But the music is like a cross between dance music and death metal thrash type stuff. So there's like part of it he's screaming and all, and then part of it he's singing, and it's really highly melodic, and it just really is awesome music. But anyway, like we got to talking to him, and he's coming through Memphis at the end of January, so we're trying to set up a show with him then, so that may be in the works. That may be the next order of tier appearance, as it were.
Yes, sir.
So I hope that happens, because I would be super stoked to play with that guy.
Yeah, me too. So. Freaking awesome.
Yep, and so like I was saying, anybody, if you're a new listener, very welcome, and thank you for joining us. And we will try to get another podcast going really soon. We'll have some other stuff. Check it out. Also, I signed us up for a SoundCloud account, which is kind of funny because SoundCloud sort of competes with Bandcamp in a way. But Bandcamp's way better than SoundCloud, by the way. If anybody is out there and is trying to decide what to go with, I highly recommend Bandcamp.
I definitely agree.
And if for no other reason, that I've emailed them like two or three times about support stuff, and like the guys have always emailed me back like very, very, very quickly, and they're always super nice and just really good. And obviously, you have no limit to what you can put up there and stuff. There's only a limit to how much somebody can download for free, which is a much higher limit than, it just depends on how you do it. But anyway, Bandcamp's better than SoundCloud, but I signed up for SoundCloud so that once we start working on music for the new album, hopefully we can get some sort of like demo versions of songs, and I'll put them up there so that you guys can check that out.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. That's a good idea, Jabba, to you.
Yeah, I thought it'd be pretty cool. So maybe try to get people excited early.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's about it. So I think you have nothing else, Hammer K.
Yeah, don't forget to check out our website.
Oh, that might be a good thing.
Should we start using officially videogamemetal.com?
I think so. I'm going to... Oh, that's another thing we're doing soon is redoing our website. But what we're going to do is we're going to switch our domain to mainly be videogamemetal.com. Because like right now, if you go to videogamemetal.com, it'll just redirect you to orderoftier.com. We're going to switch that around the other way, where if you go to orderoftier.com, it directs you to videogamemetal.com. That's what the URL sticks as in your browser. So that's going to be our official URL from now on. Order of Tier will still always work. We'll still have that. But I think videogamemetal.com is a little more eye-catching and a little more memorable. So.
Yeah, it is definitely easier to remember. I've actually already told people that. It's like, can I check it in? Yeah, videogamemetal.com.
Huh! Yeah, you always had to put the huh in there, right?
Yeah, exactly. How do you spell huh?
I don't know.
Yeah, you can go to our Bandcamp page and our YouTube page and our Facebook page and Twitters and all that stuff from our website.
Exactly. So that's the hub.
Yes.
And so check us out. You're already checking us out. Thank you for checking us out. Check out the website if you haven't already. So that's a thing you should be checking out. And I think I'm not going to say any more because I've already talked a lot and too much probably, in fact. So... this has been the 41st episode of the Order of Tier podcast. Thanks for sticking with us through it. Thanks for sticking around for 3 blank months of non-podcastery. We're going to rectify that problem shortly. We got to tighten up a couple gears to keep these guys cranking out a little more quickly. So this has been Jordan B. Sanders with Mike the Hammer K. Klodzinski.
Yeah.
See, we're going to see you guys next time. Over now.
Deuces.